subir el acto para enseñar el hit de saber cuál es la extremidad de la presencia. Y no voy a dar un hit de la gente con la presencia. Con la presencia, con la presencia, no te puedo jugar, para no ir a un puro, no te puedo jugar con la presencia, con la presencia. So, the thing is of part, and I feel like I'm in the concept of it. And so far as I've had the patience.
Thanks, Everton. I think we're deteriorating because we have set standards for the commission. The instances where we send people back because they kill us social media, it's within the system. The reason why people need to do the good story, the documents report, is because it should do some harm for us. You read that right the morning, all your way from the airport and send them to us. So, and I think because you don't take us seriously, or you think, no, why should they see before we present it to them? It's our document. It's not your document, it's really for us. So how do you expect us to apply our mind to this thing that should make some change for the few weeks? And you want us to go through it within 3 minutes? You cannot, people who do this is because they've got certain things that they are hiding within the document, so they don't want us to see the document. Before they are presented, what other reason could be the extent that one? I need to be proven wrong by whoever has spent time and rights to explain what has happened. And Shepherdson, when I really feel from
I would propose to the commission that we accept the first approach for late coming. If that would to see that the DKMD sent, for instance, the high power delegation to our joint meeting in Dover, and Dr. Tabani was there. So we can show that they put them to the appearance to appear before portfolio committee to finish the work. So based on that, I would think that it was in their favor. And then she deal with the second aspect. My colleague that we see in the treatment here and now, but in the good doctor's account, the invite went on the 21st of May. I tried to listen carefully. I didn't get on what they landed on the on your hands, the doctor, because it may mean that in here and now. But it went through Secretariat, let's suppose, I don't know why Secretariat should delay something when they can see the deadline there. I would wish to suppose that you have for the committee Secretariat. That could see what happens in terms of timeline and so forth. So in terms of your account, you said, Doc, we get no other timeline now. The only timeline comes from after 21st of May. There's no other timeline as to when exactly did it come to you, when exactly did you stretch the response. And this is where now when we degenerate into a situation where we either lower the standard change and accept presentations because we create a precedent. Presentations that come exactly at the level of the instance of the committee. Now it's my colleague, in the smaller part in the room, we need time for the two of them to confer on the approach to the document. Now, it's true, we're in the political sphere. We want to consult and come back to you so that when one colleague speaks from the same party, the other doesn't contradict. Now, in the situation in which we find ourselves, it is very, very horrible. I want the honorable someone's hand so that probably we could take a cue from what you suggested, who had moved this in which we supported. I think the council to say perhaps just to save time for all of us, with very, very much reluctance, I think we should accept this apology and insist that, notwithstanding all other big tasks which we all have big tasks, that we accept to get this accreditation. And the last dimension is not an apology, it's an explanation that when DPME does work with the department concerned and the product is jointly owned, I think we should just note that and hear from the department as to what their take is, because perhaps the specific money might be different. Because now the department, the rural development, will find itself with this program, find itself also running with the critique. So it might be a little bit of a double standard. We might find it very evasive to pin down to account. It's a little bit of an awkward situation, but it's far better than what I had last week from Human Rights Commission. It was completely in my view, I think, by my view, against Chapter 3 intergovernmental relations. Perhaps this approach is much more in the spirit of the Chapter 3 IGR and the Constitution. Thank you, sir.
Jim, my view on the matter is, look, I think there's taxpayer money involved, for the various officials and the minister and everyone that's here. I think we've all set time and size to consider the matter, but I think we should preserve our right, whether we accept this report or not, for later. I think we can always maybe at the next committee meeting put on the agenda a consideration of whether we accept this report. I think we should preserve the right to call the department back if we feel that the matter has not been dealt with appropriately. But I am concerned that when this happened last year with we tend to be lenient, and then we just look back to where we were. But I also think at the same time, I think there is, I'm very cognizant of the fact that, you know, it costs a tremendous amount of money for people to fly to this committee meeting. So I think we also set time aside here as a committee to consider the matter. So I think we should proceed. But let's reserve the right. It's not necessarily accept this as a briefing. Let's reserve our rights to determine whether we're happy with it or not. And we can make a final determination later.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
or disagree on some of the findings that have been made. So I think you rightly say we did not necessarily agree on all of the findings. But what we agreed upon, we then put into the improvement plan and we move forward with that. So these were some of the suggestions then that we took into account when we revised the work that we agreed. So they suggested a communication plan, and then they suggested we come up with a revised theory of change for CRDC community mobilization and empowerment components that even on the issues that the family raised now, as we move forward, we are still dealing with all of these different aspects, and we've encapsulated this now fully within the AgriPark model that we are rolling out. So I didn't include this in those slides, but I thought it's important to just say that we have not gone away from what we were doing this time.
Thank you very much. from the Department of Medicine, exactly, why did you not appear for the filing? Because I didn't understand why did you share the data. And the White Elephant quoted the Minister of Justice and Justice, for example, he didn't visit the Rampakmak project. He went there. What is the latest? Because it seems like there's a problem that I found a lot. You know, I don't get the Trump teacher. They've mentioned it in the beginning of the course. Issue of future of opportunity. Yes, we understand another. Was not part of it. But I can imagine if EPWP not get jobs, my argument can come in. EPWP is not sustainable because it's one of the one projects as the solution to manage the power of the authority of EPWP. You think at the minister, the argument you call EPWP real jobs, maybe the question. I wanted to find out why there was a lack of alignment between DEF and DRPL. And the alignment, and if there was alignment, how to address it? So what are the latest interventions that are coming to? Because Minister was not here, I was getting in with your proposal to the committee, but I need more details of it. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, there's a number. In fact, my difficulty with the presentation is that it actually raises more questions than it provides answers. I understand what we've tried to achieve. I also appreciate some of the remarks about avoiding silos, and I want to see the impact of call it lack of coordination with other departments and how it impacts on the success of this. I appropriate business model to attract investment? Let's make that the question. And also, shouldn't we bite the bullet when it comes to freehold and title deeds and clearly identify shares for people in ventures to attract investment? And I'm very concerned that if we don't have that as an institutional framework of, behind this particular approach, that it will fail. It will end up being a lot of money invested by government, and 10 years from now we will still be sitting more or less with the same problem, infrastructure not being maintained. You know, for everything that you put in place, you also have to look after its future sustainability. So my two questions is, how do you attract investment, and is the business model that has been proposed here, is that not in itself something that needs to rethink? Thanks.
Thank you. wrong radically from the net. So there cannot be an excuse to say if we're now going to develop a policy guideline, we are in a situation to the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. We cannot say we lack policy. There are more than enough to guide us. I'm using the terms of the I also don't understand why when you said the Council of Stakeholders, why they're not being, if they have been, I'm not aware of it, but would submit to them, why there have not been a consultation with a sector with a disability to say, we are concerned with your invisibility in this particular process. We need to know from our minority and all this thing very, very well, that people with disabilities located in the rural areas are much worse off than those are in urban areas. Maybe once we community in design, people living in a village in a valley who can't get out of the valley without being disabled, without being carried on a door. You know, there's the roads are not in existence from the minister. So I'm saying this happened and I've witnessed this when we were designing during the third term of Parliament. And from my experience, I've been largely, nothing much has changed. So the point I'm making is that disabled people are in far worse situations in the country than in the other. And by expressing the point, there has to be a conscious effort made in including the infrastructure. With regard to ECD, there's also no indication that maybe just even mention it, but linkages between ECD and the National Development Agency as a champion, as the implementation of this DSD in rolling out in each of these centers throughout the country. The last question, Chair, in creating, as the Minister has now indicated very clearly, an excellent example of how this 61 billion could be multiplied in all parts of departments and ministries being resources to the end. The question is, where is the private sector? Where is our organized commercial farmers in this? Is there no particular effort to mobilize them in bringing resources to the private sector? Thank you.
I appreciate my colleague's presentation to make the DPMD and the department. I may start from the base chair and say I did not extend the predicament of DPMD so far as the collective head situation, but I believe the Honourable Minister Martin can only text me by the summer. If I'm right here, I'll say the basic issue would have been first that the both ministers sit here before the portfolio committee. Perhaps I'm not apportioning the blame, but I'm just saying that's the ideal situation because it's the executive that will hold to account the portfolio committee. It's not the other way around. But if I'm correct, I'll then have to quote from the PFMA specific provision. So that the senior officials then give support and then content to the overall. myself look like to me, again, all of the song was too long.
unless it's a decent debate, if I shall draw a example of the future, an ovularness, has this score, but is lower in the rank, but has a certificate, and in my view, that is like, if somewhere that level would have this cost for that development, they would, relatively speaking, be at that level. Maybe for a minister, it may be greater than together with the Minister of Higher Education. Well, these are two of them. It's not in the university level. So how do we look at the accreditation? These are the modules. These youth can build blocks, they can build bridges, they can watch what they can combat fire, they can, you know, this is what they can do. Can it be modules? Can it be kind of accredited? I think otherwise the narrative issue would remain an issue that we look at us never. And lastly, the debate, I think that the debate on qualification is 1.5 billion. I like mathematics, so when I was a student, in 1 year, from record, I got an A. In 1 year, I got a 7.
Only 1 year.
It doesn't matter, I'm proud of it. It was an achievement, by the way. In mathematics, an A. So, but I'm going to the issue about qualification. There's a couple who talk about the upper limit, the 3,000. The upper limit, the lower limit, the 15,000 per person per household, and then we go to the external fund times 69, and then we arrive at 61.5 billion. I wanted to comfort myself that we draw the 1.5 billion from the other numbers that I tried. I'm not able to draw it because we then base ourselves on the 2920 RAWA. But we never talked about what in the prison. So what do you multiply by what to arrive at 61.5? So that the quantification can be correct. Because the portfolio commission came with internal treasury and appropriations for this 61.5. But I'm not sure if it's a correct figure because I tried to prove it. I come from the source. It's not talked about what, but we were talking about persons and households. All of a sudden there are what? We don't know how many persons or households there were. Perhaps it is 10 people coming to 1.5 billion. In terms of quantification check, I think it's a fair one. I agree with colleagues. We can very fair on the water says. 1.5 to try and change the face of the local communities. It would limit the humble contribution of any government with the private sector and other. I don't want to ask you have different comments because I'll strongly criticize that private sector is just sitting by and watching and seeing that things are going to happen. And all our parties must call the private sector to come to pass.
Let me take
you to
that are being made about water shortages, water relationships here and there. I was
looking for that because I found your case aging already, and I had to read through. That's why I wanted to be the last one. And I appreciate that. You can't go into a major project like this without doing a thorough risk analysis. Well, just a few ones there. I noticed that the focus here, or the idea, is to try and create opportunities for government supported, you know, enterprises. What content have you given to the private sector? I noticed that when it comes to implementing local measures or site measures, you're talking about securing the services of labor. I listened very carefully. And I want to know, to what extent would you make use of local contractors? That's people already there, they've already registered their activities. You know, that's so very different from your federal labor and so on that comes and goes. And I want us to, you know, to get some comfort that you will accommodate those people when it comes to procurement of services, because they always feel left out. And this is page 21. Now, page 21, please, can you just explain one thing there? The last bullet point is that cost effective technologies are used in one area. Perhaps you've been in touch with ARC or somebody in public works because I think, Honorable Minister, the department is not supposed to overcome some of these problems like rural roads as well as water shortages. Maybe you are not looking at the normal way of doing roads. We need to look at creative. I once attended 19th to the 20th of October 2006 when Minister referred about Minister of Transport in Midrand. And there were a number of people there who were showing us ways, cost effective ways of improving rural roads. You can get into that. And I was quite impressed by that, you know. But I never saw that being implemented where I was coming from at the time. Cost effective ways, quick, you know, ways, because if we're looking at your normal contractors nowadays, we will never be able to overcome this, and it's a critical challenge. I'm also a rough boy, like the man who passed mathematics to my head. I never found the same thing. That's why I had the pleasure of laughing. For a grand age. So we need to be looking at more creative and cost effective. I suggest the department spend a little bit of time and money looking researching career. Because if we just use the local contractor, those guys will just clean up your budget in a short space of time, and you'll find that very soon, if not properly supervised, you will need to repair those roads. That's been my experience. And now, coming to pages 24, 25, guidelines, once we recover, that is besides now, you may recall that when the department came to present to the workshop on GAP, you know, when 19th, you know, of March, I think, in Somerset West, I put up this question, and I want to put it at here. What else besides agricultural related activities are going to take place, you know, in this agri-pass, you know? I'm aware of what will be contained, you know, to the extent that you have given us. I'm finishing up now. Page 15 of the monitoring report, which I missed out completely. Am I right on page 15? You've got computer, the Christmas, the 59,000 and so on. Has not done some simple arithmetic there. Am I right to assume that you've got working on an average of 18 persons per class? Because I took 59,000 and I divided it by 5,200. That gave me about 18 people per class. Expense of 2012 to 200 person and translation to 59,000, you know, per site. Are we dealing with 18? If that is the case, what informs the department? I know this is not your own production, you're doing oversight of some kind on the departmental implementation policy. What informs the figure 18 if my calculation is correct? Page 15 at the bottom. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I appreciate you, honorable members, for raising a good insight.
work very closely with the Department of Higher Education and Training. So they have been receiving certification. The one thing is that we currently are able, in terms of the certification, we are up to NQF level 3, and we're trying now to move higher. So those who choose to go into other areas of learning, into a normal diploma or degree course, we will also facilitate that kind of process for them, even if it's not that, you know, we are being directly in the department, but with our partnership with Higher Education and Training. And the way in which we're working now is that we are trying to connect them or link them, even as an exit strategy, around enterprise development for them to become entrepreneurs of their own. And we have very, very successful models or successful projects across the country where the youth themselves are employing others and those that have exited. And I think that is actually the way in which we want to go. They must become employers of others as the Larry said, with the skills that they have. In addition, we're trying to link them up then with your contracted databases of the municipalities themselves. So they become the ones that are contracted at that level to do the maintenance and operations that we talk about, which is a significant part of our country's problem at the moment in some of the areas. So those are the kind of things we're doing to ensure that they move from skills to jobs to employers as they move forward. And I've explained that the CETAs are our major partner in everything that we do. We would not be able to do the CBEX, we would not be able to do the certification if we did not work with the CETAs. We also get funding there from the skills fund as well, for it. In terms of the disability sector, Honorable Madeira, we definitely, obviously I will agree that there's a lot of work that we can still do in this particular area, but we do have 97 young people that have been selected deliberately and publicly across the country into the program. And also in the other part of our program, around the enterprise model, we ensure that we focus on that, even at the level of council stakeholders. So that was some of the issues that we raised then with DPMP when they were raising these issues for us. So we agree with you that there is a multitude of policies at the moment, and we don't need a new policy. And I think that the issues around access that you raised, that's our main challenge as well, because the issue of roads in rural areas is one of your biggest areas where you need large amounts of money. And that is where we're trying to then find how we can deal with this differently to give proper access. I'll give you an example of Navitech youth at the moment. About 15 of them currently living with disabilities are doing practicals in the Northwest, having been trained in various areas of construction and hiring, etc. So they are then these young people across the country that we work with. In terms of the NDA, we partner with the NDA in terms of CCDs as well as other people in terms of how we deliver on these CCDs. And I think I've answered the question around organized agriculture and private sector, that we actually are sitting together. The minister has tasked us as part of Outcome 7 to have a technical task team for Outcome 7. And this technical task team then has been able to draw in all of the relevant agricultural unions. They participate fully. The AGRIS chamber in the country, they also participate. And then we have farmers themselves and commodity organizations that are sitting with us. And we meet on a monthly basis and deliberating and planning for how we deal with our different programs. I think Honorable Nguni, I think the issue of the that you're raising around how do we bring all of these things together, we have been moving in terms of the comprehensive rural development program, and that is why when I put this up, I was saying it's a very transformation system that really anchors all of these different deliverables. And even as we move now with the AgriPass program, it will still be anchored. And you look at the phases that we've been working in, the meeting basic human needs, which really talks to energy, water, sanitation, housing, etc. But then we are now moving into that second phase and third phase around enterprise and industry development. So we really think that this really brings all of the work that we are doing together. On the designs, to what extent we make use of the local contractors? We do this extensively, and that's why I was saying, even when we put out tenders for rural development, it's not just about local labor. We insert in there that they have to make use of a certain percentage of local contractors. we are now sharing them with the Department of Water and Sanitation, looking at various new technologies that can be used in our rural areas with limited impact then on the environment. We've looked at new water technologies, and I think you'll see in Munyeshe, we also have one in the Eastern Cape, we've also done this. And then we're looking at new road technology, because we know that that, like I said, is the most expensive. We've worked with CSIR on significant research. We are looking at the what is called the Alcatel concrete technology, which is a cheaper way of doing roads. We're looking at something called geo-cell technology at the moment, which we're going to implement in one of our very old road projects in the Eastern Cape as well. So we are using these kinds of things and working with them to find new ways of bringing services cheaper into the rural space than we can at the moment. What the size agricultural activities will take place in the agri-parks. I think the idea here is that the agri-parks will eventually begin to emerge in terms of becoming a hub that various activities can happen in. Farm the issues of services that can be offered in that space, and not services only for farmers, but services in general. We're looking at it beginning to develop into some kind of retail hub as well. We're looking at our after the task cooperatives, for example, being able to participate in that. We are doing a lot of work also around the clothing industry at the moment. So we're looking at this also finding a space in the rural areas. And the young people themselves, depending on all the different enterprises that they're involved in, that they can also participate. So really it's becoming an hub.
Yeah.
and of course there are none of them from you. But the minister and the spoke of, there's a ton of merchants, quality and the dog has spoke of, there's a detail of dogs, which is not bad. Unless you're not sure.
I think,
issues of overlapping, so the committee should be